Next item, Shirley Contracting Company, LLC. Good morning, sir.
Morning. Shirley Contracting Company, LLC, requests authorization to impact Difficult Run and Colvin Run in association with the Route 7 Improvements Project between Colvin Run Road and Jarrett Valley Drive in Fairfax County. The project is protested by multiple nearby property owners. The applicant and their agent are here today. The project's located in Fairfax County. This is Route 7 Leesburg Pike. Project is in this location. Again, Route 7 is in red. Here you see Difficult Run, and Colvin Run runs into Difficult Run right here at the project site. A joint permit application was received in April from Dewberry Engineers on behalf of Shirley Contracting Company to widen and improve a portion of VDOT's Route 7 highway. The widening of Route 7 from 4 to 6 lanes has been contemplated since the 1970s. Parts of it have been improved, and this is one portion that is before you today. Route 7 has been and remains one of the major east-west transportation corridors connecting Interstate 495 and the Arlington-Alexandria area with the rapidly growing Loudoun County and Fairfax. The portion of Route 7 addressed in this application extends from Colvin Run Road here to Jarrett Valley Drive, which is near 495. Impacts to state-owned submerged land associated with this project include widening of the road along Colvin Run, reconstruction of the bridge crossing of Difficult Run, the installation by directional drill method of 28 conduits beneath Difficult Run, and most important today, is the relocation of approximately 1,500 linear feet of Colvin Run. Commission staff conducted our standard public interest review and received no objections from any state or federal agencies. Both the Departments of Environmental Quality and the Corps of Engineers are currently in the process of issuing their permits for the project, and had we not received opposition from the public, this project would probably be before you as a page 2 item today. This is a good slide to familiarize you with what's going on here. Now, this is Route 7. We're looking at a cross-section here, plan view up above. You look, the gray lines here and here are the existing four-lane Route 7. What they plan to do is they're going to shift the roadway to the south, widen both lanes to 3 lanes to make it a 6-lane highway. To do this, this is the existing Colvin Run. They're going to shift Colvin Run to the south. They're also raising the grade of the road to alleviate flooding problems that they've had in the past. The proposed relocation of Colvin Run consists of moving it from the current location where it meanders parallel to and immediately south of Route 7. The proposed stream channel is to be shifted to the south, straightened and conformed into a stabilized with articulated interlocking concrete blocks. Plans provided by Dewberry Engineers show the footprint of the roadway shifting to the south, forcing a shift of Colvin Run to the south, and encroaching on an existing 54-inch diameter county water line. The Route 7 Widening Alternatives Technical Report prepared by VDOT and the Federal Highway Administration explains the rationale for shifting the widening roadway to the south, noting the shifting of Route 7 to the south would eliminate impacts to the historic Colvin Run Mill property, as well as other environmental resources on the north side of existing Route 7. It should also be noted in that same report, they discuss that it appears that Route 7, or that Colvin Run was relocated when the original Route 7 was built. And if you look here, you can see the straight line to the south of Route 7 that is Colvin Run. And it's logical to think that that was relocated when Route 7 was built back in the 50s or 60s. I'm going to show you a couple of different plan views of this project to help you get an idea of what's going on. This is Route 7. This is Colvin Run coming into the project. The red hatched area here is existing Colvin Run. This area to the south is the new articulated block channel stream bed. The blue line is the existing 54-inch water line, so you can see we're getting crunched here. We're moving east. Again, you can see in red the existing Colvin Run, which is right in the widened Route 7. The new articulated concrete block channel and the blue 54-inch water line and the dotted blue line. So the articulated channel will come down here into some type of a drop structure to slow the water down before it's released into Difficult Run here. This is the bridge crossing of Difficult Run, which is also a part of the project. Here's some photos at the bottom of existing Colvin Run. This is a cross-section of the articulated concrete block that will make up the new channel. It consists of sections of concrete block that are cabled together with a cable system, and it allows plants to grow up through the articulated system. Here's a plan showing Route 7 in red. This is just to show you that the area of construction is all within property owned by Fairfax County Park Authority. The Park Authority has worked with VDOT over the past several years, and while they would prefer a natural channel design, they understand the constraints and are on board with the articulated concrete block channel. Here's a profile just to show you again the road widening, the existing channel, and the new channel to be shifted. Then we're moving down to where they're elevating the road. The blue line here is the retaining wall, the new channel, the 54-inch water line, and the same thing moving farther downstream. And I'll just go through this quickly. This is, again, the same thing showing the existing channel in the road, the articulated concrete block channel. And not to leave out the parts that are not protested, this is the standard VDOT plans for the bridge relocation, expansion. This is the conduit. These are the 22 conduits that go underneath Difficult Run. And a profile. This shows the bridge, and this is the conduit going beneath Difficult Run carrying the 22 cables. In response to the public notice, we received 22 emails from nearby property owners in opposition to the project. All of the protests center on the relocation of Colvin Run. So it's important to understand that none of them are concerned with the road widening or the bridge project or the conduits. It's all centered around the relocation of the channel. And the objections seem to center on three issues. One is stormwater management and flooding. One is historic and scenic issues with the historic Colvin Run Mill, which dates back to the 1800s, I believe. And a perceived lack of coordination between the design team and the public. The Fairfax County Stormwater Planning Division provided comments. They would prefer to see a natural channel design instead of the trapezoidal ditch. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries commented that while they always prefer a natural channel design, they understand the need for the articulated channel and that they understand the constraints that the contractor and VDOT are under to build and widen this road. They do not believe the project will adversely impact any threatened or endangered species. And they also note the degraded condition of the existing Colvin Run as it is today. DEQ staff shared information that led them to support the channelization of Colvin Run. And they stated that The alignment of the road through Colvin Run was coordinated with Fairfax County Park Authority, and the option to include natural channel design was not the least environmentally damaging alternative, because there are a lot of valued wetlands, non-tidal wetlands, that would be impacted if they had to relocate that 54-inch water line. So both the Corps and DEQ favor the articulated channel over a natural channel design. So in summary, while staff understands and appreciates the concerns of those in opposition to the channelization of Colvin Run, we also recognize the constraints of widening and improving existing roadways that have been in use for years and have become surrounded by suburban growth. State agencies, including VDOT, the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, and the Department of Environmental Quality, along with the Corps, all typically recommend the use of natural channel design techniques when relocating or improving streams in Virginia. In this case, however, all agree that the channelization and armoring of Colvin Run has the least environmentally damaging effect on the surrounding area. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition, and after considering the facts contained in Section 28.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project with the assessment of a royalty in the amount of $4,200, and that's for the encroachment of the proposed utility conduits under Difficult Run at a rate of $3 per linear foot of encroachment. And we also recommend the following special conditions be added to the permit. One, should the state-threatened wood turtle be encountered during any of the work authorized by this permit, it would immediately be removed from danger and moved to suitable habitat in or near the closest perennial stream. The in-stream construction activities shall be accomplished during low-flow periods and within cofferdams constructed of non-erodible materials in such a manner that no more of half the width of the waterway is obstructed at any time. All areas of state-owned bottom and adjacent lands disturbed by this activity shall be restored to their original contours and natural conditions within 30 days from the date of completion of the work, and all excess materials shall be removed to an upland site. Erosion sediment control shall be in conformance with the 1992 third edition of the Virginia Erosion and Sediment Control Handbook. The permittee agrees to develop a contingency frack-out plan, which will be employed throughout construction as it relates to spills associated with the directional drilling activities. And finally, the permittee shall execute a transfer of the permit to the Virginia Department of Transportation upon their acceptance of the structures authorized herein. I'd be glad to answer any questions. The agent, their applicant, the contractor, and I believe a VDOT representative are here too.
Do you have that slide by chance, the last, your summary and recommendation? Do you have that on?
I do not. I apologize.
Okay. Any questions by members of the commission? A very thorough briefing. I've got Mr. Tanker to the right and then Mr. Ballard.
Could you maybe show a slide of the geography, sort of the map of the area that we're talking about?
You can see that's it's a stream valley. Everything comes down into where Colvin Run and Difficult Run meet.
Right. So I'm somewhat familiar with this area. I do some business up there in Northern Virginia, and it seems to me that, you know, when I hear about hardening this area, that we're going to increase the speed of water through which, the water's going to be going in, particularly big rain events.
Right.
Is there any consideration given to the increased sort of force of water to adjacent areas downstream?
That's been part of the plan, and if I think it would be better if we allowed VDOT or Dewberry Engineering to address that.
Okay.
I think they could answer that better than I could.
Okay. And then we could follow up if I could.
Yes, sir, please.
And then would you kind of give me a little bit better understanding of why we thought or they thought that the natural stream wasn't the way to go? I didn't really grasp
they,
that.
I think they would have to have more room to put the meanders and the natural stream channel design techniques in place. And to do that, they would have to shift that 54-inch water line, which would mean either abandoning it or digging it up and removing it and placing it further to the south. and the Corps and the DEQ both valued the non-tidal wetlands. They placed a higher value on those wetlands than they did the degraded Colvin Run stream and wanted to preserve those non-tidal wetlands.
Mr. Ballard?
My questions were similar in nature to Mr. Tankard's. Either from yourself or the applicant, I would like to hear more about the restrictions from doing a natural channel design and what exactly the width requirements are for that and how close they are to coming to that pipeline.
I think Dewberry Engineering could probably address that.
Okay.
Ms. Everett?
I don't want to beat the dead horse, but I do know from my work, too, that stormwater management is a large challenge, obviously with velocity, as well as water quality. So I guess, going back, so the Corps and DEQ said we value the non-tidal wetlands more so. And DGIF said we understand the reasoning, but so we'll go with the hardening. Of
they would, they would routinely recommend natural channel design. However, the threatened wood turtle is found in this area, but they determined that the stream was so degraded that it wasn't a very suitable habitat for the wood turtle, so they're not concerned, and they would not push for the natural channel design in this instance.
Okay.
Ms. Herbert?
Thank you. But the Fairfax County Planning Division, it looks like, based on your summary, they understand the Corps recommended. However, they still request the use of
natural channel design. They still want the natural channel design. Fairfax County is very proactive, and they're spending a lot of money redesigning and stabilizing streams throughout the county. So I think it's only natural that they would push for the natural channel design here.
Yes, ma'am.
What would the potential, if they move that water line, what would the potential non-tidal wetland acreage?
I don't have that figure. I think Dewberry will. Putting Dewberry on the spot here, I think.
What we've got here is obviously a very technical project on a lot of expertise that we do not routinely deal with as a commission, and our responsibilities when you consider the magnitude of this type project, considering the other agencies and what they're responsible for, I can understand why the need is to ask those that have the significant expertise in these fields to get the very best information possible when we make a decision. Not that what we do is not important, but they've obviously a lot of agencies have weighed in on this one. So, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
And we last.
Thank
you. I think this will be it. In terms of the summary recommendations, I saw number one addresses the wood turtle. Is that reflective of DGIF's kind of recommended conditions?
Yes, ma'am. They put that in their recommendations.
Okay. So your summary does include DGIF's recommendations.
Yes.
Okay.
I think our summary would reflect everyone's recommendation, what it normally does.
It does.
Correct?
We do take into account all of the agencies we request comments from.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you, sir.
And I have not checked the sign-in sheet, but I think some of those in opposition are here today.
That's fine. I will take the applicant present or represented?
Yes.
Everyone come forward because we don't know who we'll have a question for. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God.
Yes.
Can you do me a favor? State your name and who you represent. We'll go introductions first.
Jeff Alston with Shirley Contracting.
Okay.
Steve Kuntz with Dewberry.
Okay.
Steve's the engineer.
Brian Campbell with VDOT.
Okay.
Kim Larkin, I'm the agent.
Okay.
With Dewberry.
Do you have anything you'd like to add to the presentation? And if you do, state your name again and who you represent.
Jeff Alston with Shirley Contracting. I just wanted to let you guys know Shirley's the design builder for the project under contract with VDOT to construct the improvements. Dewberry is part of the design build team working for Shirley. They're doing the final design of the project and also the environmental coordination and permitting for us. And Brian is with VDOT. He has knowledge of the coordination that VDOT did with the Corps of Engineers Federal Highway Administration and DEQ prior to the award of the design build contract to Shirley. So that's why he is here to answer any of those questions.
Sounds like a good team to answer questions. Would you, again, would you like to add anything to the presentation from staff?
I would like to note that even that VDOT looked at 15 different options with DEQ and the Corps of Engineers, and even the option that was moved forward as the least environmentally damaging alternative included impacts to the forested wetlands on the south side. And through our team, we were able to shift the road slightly to the north without impacting the historic mill on the north side and minimize those forested wetland impacts even more so than what the Corps of Engineers and VDOT expected in that preliminary analysis.
Okay. Questions of the gentleman for those conditions that he was just mentioning? Mr. Ballard?
Well, I think if you could go over the natural channel design and why that's limited or the not at least environmentally damaging option here, that'd be helpful.
Or do you have someone else that you would like to have answer?
Sure. So again, Brian Campbell with VDOT. During the preliminary design phases, the Park Authority, who are the stakeholders of the land, had requested for natural channel design be utilized when relocating the stream. So throughout the process, 3 years of coordination, we developed several different natural channel design alternatives options that were presented, all of them having significant impacts. And prior to our public hearing process and the public hearing for the project, the Army Corps of Engineers just felt that there were too many forested wetland impacts. The lateral extent that was needed to do a meandering channel was it had too many wetland impacts. So they asked VDOT to look at any other alternatives that could mitigate the amount of lateral extent into those wetlands. And so the 15 different options were developed, and they looked at cost versus environmental impacts and were presented. And at the end of it all, what was found to be the LEDPA, that least environmentally practical damaging alternative, was the design that you see today.
If I could add to that, the picture on the screen actually.
State your name, please, for the record.
Steve Kuntz from Dewberry. My apologies. The picture that's up on the screen actually provides a fairly good picture. The area shaded in blue on the screen to the south or the bottom of the roadway, you can see the meandering channel that is Colvin Run, and south of that are the forested wetlands that we're trying to avoid, and both the Corps and DEQ requested that we minimize impacts to
this area.
Right. So what's shown on the screen right now is the relocation or the realignment of Route 7 and the relocation of Colvin Run as that straight channel. That straight channel right now fits just barely between the proposed retaining wall and the existing 54-inch water line. Now, Fairfax Water has allowed us to reduce that buffer from traditionally more than 15 feet adjacent to the water lines. We're now up to about 7.5 feet from the edge of that 54-inch water line. Meandering the channel, there's not enough room to get enough lateral offset in the channel to really meander it. Any meandering at all would impact the 54-inch water line, requiring its relocation further to the south and into that forested wetland area. So there's really two impacts. There's the meander itself that would increase the wetland impacts to the forested area. The relocation of the water line compounds that impact by having to move that further to the south.
Mr. Tanker?
And so my question, though, given that the water volume will be sped up through that, have mm-hmm. you mitigated for that?
We have. So part Difficult Run itself helps to control the velocity in Colvin Run. The peaks go through Difficult Run earlier, so the water itself coming out of Colvin Run will flow into Difficult Run. At the confluence of the two, we actually have a plunge pool at the end of that riprap or the articulated block area. So that drops into a depression, essentially, before it goes into the culverts that outfall into Difficult Run. So that will help to reduce the velocity.
You got that? Ms. Everett?
Thank you. And that's helpful for velocity. How about water quality?
Water quality is addressed throughout the entirety of the project. So from a VDOT perspective, we look at the project as a whole. So all of the additional or the multiple drainage outfalls that go into Colvin Run and into Difficult Run are being managed throughout the project. There's no specific management at this location just because of the additional impacts that it would result in.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Everett?
So I know that this is the least impactful route, but I guess with the natural channel design, you do have some of that opportunity for water quality. In this case, you don't, correct?
Correct. Okay. So all of the roadway runoff itself is all being contained in stormwater management outfall locations throughout the project. So there's no direct runoff from the roadway at this location that goes straight into the channel. So the majority of this is just maintaining Colvin Run, which is further off to the west. Let's see if I can get here. It's maintaining flow from points off-site the project, adjacent to the project itself. In terms of the new impervious area, the additional pavement that we're putting down, the shared use paths, those are all being treated in stormwater facilities throughout the corridor. Now, the hope with the articulated blocks and the reason we have the openings and the gaps in those is over time, the intent is that material will grow up through those and help to reduce the velocity and maybe improve some of the function of that stream. But immediately upon construction, it is just the articulated block.
Mr. Ballard?
Can you talk a little bit more about what I believe was stated on plunge pool and how that would slow velocity? I guess my question is, typically when I see something like that, your rate of flow temporarily slows, but then when it spills over into the next device, it's essentially the same rate of flow.
It is. So initially, the depression area that we're providing, that plunge pool, will control the velocities. Once the water rises up to the point that would no longer function, it's actually the point that Difficult Run flows are higher and going through the bridge. And so the water then is going into Difficult Run and not just essentially blowing off site.
Further questions? Thank you. We may have further questions at the end, but please stick around. Anyone else in support of this project? Anyone in opposition to this project? Yes, sir. Will we all please come forward? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. We'll swear you both in. Solemnly swear the testimony you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Please state your name for the record, please.
My name is Mark Eric.
No, you're okay.
Mark Eric Knudsen. I'm with the Great Falls Citizens Association. I'm also with the working group, and I've been working on Route 7 since I started a working group, which all this was preceded by me working for 10 years with VDOT on the intersection of Georgetown Pike, a historic byway, first engineered road in America to be done with that. We're trying to protect that.
Well, so I understand, did you work for VDOT or you worked
with?
Got it. Understand.
They might consider against. Okay.
We'll
you said to be
out.
Truthful.
Helen likes us.
Anyways, so after working on the Georgetown Pike, I realized there was going to be a problem all the way down for the next 6 miles of the. They've been working their way down Route 7. So I put together four jurisdictions and talked to VDOT, and we got them to make a working group. And since 2012, we've been working with VDOT on this group. And one of the objections that was in your thing is the lack of communication. We've been working up until late 2017, even into 18, on a meandering stream. And there's documentation that they've been talking to Army Corps of Engineers and other people about all these other projects, and we've not been given the information on that. Once it went to a design build, which was when DuBerry Davis and Shirley got involved, that we were sworn to secrecy, and things happened that we didn't even know about. So that's one of the objections that we have, that the public communication was cut off on a lot of this. Okay? Now, the main objection we have to this is that the information and the data that they're basing all their data on is on a 25-year plan. And the 25-year plan, if even FEMA and their IG in 2007, said that more than 58% of FEMA's flood maps were outdated. So that there's one fact, that they're using outdated maps, according to FEMA. All right, the other thing is that they said only three times since 1953 has this road been overflowed. All right, well, they stopped at 2011, because since 2011, this road has been overflowed several times, and several times in 1 year. So they're not using anything current. And we're talking from 2011. That's the last 10 years. They're not using any of the data. All right. You can look on several websites about how the weather has increased 78% in the Northeast Corridor. And this is right at the bottom of the Northeast Corridor. If you drop into the Southern, it's 57%. So it's still in a high range of increased rain in this area. The only way that they've been able to make this, all right, first of all, the Army Corps of Engineers, the DEQ, Fairfax County, and the Park Authority all preferred the meandering stream. They had to go back and find ways to make it work so they didn't have to do the meandering stream. They've accomplished this by buying 2,000 feet of stream credits and wetland credits. So these wetland credits don't do anything for this local area. They're put in a fund, and they just sit there until somebody else comes up with either a study to figure out how they can beat rules and regulations.
We're familiar with those wetlands.
Okay.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
Sorry. Don't mean, okay. I don't want to take any more time than I should. The flood metrics for a 25-year storm, we don't understand why they're using that, because the 100-year storm basically says that a house in a 25-year storm would be a 30% chance of being flooded in 100 years. That's a 100-year storm, is a 30% chance. A 25-year storm would be even more. That'd be more like 70% according to the statistics that I found.
Sir, where do you live in proximity to this project?
Well, I've been driving on this road since it's a two-lane road.
Uh-huh.
I live approximately a mile downstream, but also off to the left.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. When I used to drive by this place when it was a two-lane highway, which was this part, the second part of this, making a four-lane road, was done in late 69 and the 70s, not in the early 60s. All right. When they built that part, we started having flooding problems with Colvin Run. I mean, difficult run, would flood before, but there was a large floodplain.
Sure.
But they, VDOT themselves admitted that the bridge is too short. They built a large causeway, and that's where part of the problem comes in, besides the increase in water that we're getting. All right. What happens is, if you look at the map that's up there, sorry, I wish I had a pointer, but Colvin Run is, our Carpers Farm Way is the road to the south, to the left of the green area. Okay, Colvin Run Road is coming down from the north at that angle. Oh, thank you. Okay. So this is Colvin Mill Run coming down, and it hits and it does this all the way down. Now, it used to go across here, and original Route 7 would cross over this way. All right, but then they did the two-lane road and they made a bridge. And then when they came in and made a four-lane, they made this big causeway across here. Now, what happens is this road, the culvert for this road, is the first choking point. So the water comes over this and gets on the road and comes down here. But when Difficult Run is flooding, it also backs up the creek here, all along here. So then you have water coming over the causeway along here. Now, this, it gets to 3, 4, and 5 feet above the road. Now, when we were talking with VDOT over the years, they said that the new bridge would solve that problem. All right, we would not get the flooding over here. But with this culvert here, and there's also another culvert right here where there's a little pumping station, I guess for the water line or whatever, that those two choke points. Now, what they've done since they built this in the early 70s, late 69, 70, I know it was 69 because we were drag racing on the uncompleted road, and I graduated in 69, so it was built in 69.
Well, as a former state trooper, that doesn't bother me at all. Go ahead.
Well, nobody was on the road. It was before it was completed. Anyways, the water comes up and fills up this whole area. So now when you get this dam here and here, the water's filling up over here. But also, the water coming down Difficult Run is too much for the bridge. So that's backing up Difficult Run. During this time, since the 60s, this area would flood, and it's all floodplain. And it would work. This meandering stream has worked forever, all right? And doing what it's supposed to do, which is, if it's not a 100-year storm, which we're getting now, but let's say a 25-year storm, it slows the water down, all right? It floods this area, and this area is perfect to be flooded. It's got grass thicker than you can walk through almost. I've got pictures if you guys want to see them. The trees all in this area are no more than an 8-inch diameter. They've all grown up since I've been driving through there. When I started driving through there, even after it was built, you could see the houses behind them. You can't see them now because those trees have grown up. So I question this protected area. It used to be a cow pasture. It's all happened since then. But, you know, I'm not the expert there.
Sir, can we get I don't want to rush, but same. Let me finish. We're getting into technical minutiae as far as design is concerned.
Yes.
That quite honestly, I'm not sure is in the purview of this commission. What we need to do is channel your concerns to what the problem is as far as what we're responsible for under the Code of Virginia, which is the subaqueous bottomlands.
Okay. The only way, first of all, the data they're using is wrong. Okay, that's my major concern, all right?
Okay.
Second of all, the only way they've come up to fix this, and it's a cost estimate issue, is to buy credits that won't help recovery of what's going on here, all right? Also, they're doing what Vito always does, and I've been dealing with it for almost 20 years now, is they stop the jurisdiction. You ask them what's happening 50 feet off an intersection, and they don't know. That's not part of their jurisdiction. Same thing is going on here. What happens in this place will affect Difficult Run and all the other streams that are going into Difficult Run between here and the river. This area is a bio area for all stream beds. That is the key that feeds the Potomac, that feeds the Chesapeake Bay. All right? That's what we're trying to protect.
Okay.
This area all is also on wells. All right? So that's another reason we have a special concern in this area. We have to protect it from all the waste that's coming down from the resting area on impermeable surfaces and the stuff that's coming off the oils and stuff. That's why we want these grasslands and this meandering stream to slow it down to give a chance for that stuff to get out of the water. Now, if you look at the data that they're using and you set up pond at the end of the creek, our major concern is with this straight line shot. The water that we get now is fast and furious for an hour, and then it slows down. But the water keeps coming because it's fast and furious for the whole area, and then it's get funneled into these streams. If the streams aren't meandering and slow it down, if they're cutting a straight shot, they're just going to come down. That straight shot T-bones into Difficult Run. So they were saying that the main water stream is Difficult Run. Yes, but when it comes off, a lot of rest in it, which has impermeable surface, comes down Copeland Mill. So it's going to hit at this T-bone, and it's going to cause all sorts of stir. If the pond they're talking is going to slow it down, it's done on a 25-year storm basis, that's not going to work in our system. So it's going to pollute, cause so much convergence that it's going to kick a lot more silt. And the silt's going to kill off the bio areas. So that's our concerns, all right? So my buddy would like to talk, too.
Sounds good.
But we've read all the reports that we now have, We've had about a month and a half, 2 months to prepare for this, to find all the reports and to go through all the stuff. And we've proven that what they're doing is not based on what's going on.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir, could you state your name?
Sure, yes. Tim Thompson. Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. I live, if you're looking at your same picture. Okay.
Yep.
If you look at the thing, I live right where in the lower left corner where the blue stream. Excuse me.
You could use that mouse.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Great. Thank you. I'm left-handed. I'll do it this way. I live right about in here. And I used to take my son, whose name is Cameron as well, who's now getting a master's in environmental sciences over in China and teaching environmental sciences at a boarding school. We used to go down here and spend a lot of time. Difficult run, you could stand on either side and hold it. Now that the bed is so degraded, he was graduated high school in Langley in 13, graduated Roanoke at 2017. But back in those times, back in 04, 05, 06 time frame, you could put a foot on either side of difficult run. Now it's about 6-8 feet wide in areas. You got trees crashing in. You're going to get vegetation, pollution, silt, and everything else running down in. Now, in 17, I lost my car. Right here at this light. I got stuck. And as Eric just said, right there, that water goes underneath Carper Farm Road. It has a culvert that goes underneath the road, and that's the only way in and out to 300 houses. And the water is coming so fast because it's not being able to meander anymore. They want to straighten it. It hits, and then it just spouts up. The roadway of Carper Farm feeds into Route 7 at the light, and then it rolls down toward the middle of the road, and the ditch or the lowest point is about right where the pointer is, the big red dot. And 2 to 3 feet, 5 feet, I'm not sure what it is. I do know that in the last, since spring, we've had big storms, 200, 300 years. Route 7 has been closed a total of almost 19 hours because of flooding in both directions. Cars could not go. And as the gentleman said, this is the major throughway from Loudoun County. It actually goes all the way to Winchester, all the way to Tyson's Corner, which is supposed to be the Commonwealth's economic engine, la-di-da-di. When we first started this project, I'm a member of the working group. We first started the working group back in 2011 with Garrett Moore, who was our northern person for VDOT at the time before he got moved to Richmond and just retired a couple of weeks ago. We took a study, and there were 6 to 7% of the cars were out of state, predominantly Maryland, coming out of the Leesburg area, Route 7 or 17, excuse me, 15, south and hitting 7 and coming down. Now that number is up around 22.3, 22.4%. Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Maryland cars, and a lot of non-Fairfax cars because Fairfax does not have the sticker decal on the windshield. Whereas other things, the city of Winchester, Clark County, et cetera, do. So when we're sitting out there and we're doing traffic counts, we're not using VDOT's 2011 to 2012 and adding 6%. We're physically out there in our cars doing traffic counts, looking at these things as they come through. It's just building up and building up and building up. And so when you close Route 7 for an hour, it's a mess. You close it for 19 hours over three different times since the spring, it gets even worse. Cars are now running through neighborhoods, 25 miles an hour, three elementary school bus stops in my neighborhood. We've had two bikes crushed and a dog hit. Luckily, it lived. But people running through, we've been getting tickets by Fairfax County Police. Thank goodness we finally got them in there. The average speed when they put the things in, trying to get three-way stop signs and speed humps, speed bumps, various things, 48 miles an hour. Rushing through, trying to come up to Route 7 and hang a right just about the edge of the stream where Route 7 hits your border up there to come on down. It's a safety issue. It's a pollution issue.
Sir?
And we should not be having this kind of problem. Yes, sir. I'll take any questions or leave.
Yeah, thank you. The safety issue under the Highway Safety Act and Highway Safety Administration issues is out of our purview.
I'm just pointing it out.
I understand.
But the Chesapeake Bay Act that the federal government passed, which is now going to be part of the problem here. Fairfax County, at their Board of Supervisors meeting in March and April, passed the thing that projects have got to adhere to the 2014 rules, not the 1990 rules that these people want to do when they did their design. They think they're grandfathered. That's not finished yet being discussed up in the judicial system. But those things have got to be adhered because Fairfax County does not want to be fined hundreds of millions of dollars that we taxpayers would then have to pay. You all don't want the Bay or the Potomac River, which would lead to the Bay, to do the same thing with your shell fishing, your sport fishing, and everything else. We're trying to protect the Bay. We're trying to protect the Potomac River, and this problem won't do it. It has to be Malan. Now, all they got to do, per the Army Corps of Engineers, and we've got people talking to them about this, on the federal level, two U.S. senators and a congressperson are all there talking to the Corps. All they got to do is pay the $2 million to move that 54-inch water main, and they got plenty of room between the highway and the water main to do the meandering. Leaving that 54-inch water main there where it is, the Corps said, no, we can't do that. Our thing that we did for months or years was recommending the top three of the 10 priorities that the Corps gave us, not the seventh or eighth on the list of 10 that is being proposed and was shown to you earlier. I thank you all very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Anyone else in opposition to the project? The applicant or agent has 3 minutes to rebut and wrap up, and then the matter will be before the commission if you decide to do so.
Yeah, I would just like to say that we have tried to coordinate. We meet regularly with the working group. We've met twice since the project started, and VDOT had met with the working group more than 17 times prior to the start of the project. The straight stream channel design that was with the lining was discussed in meeting number 17 with VDOT, and we have the minutes of that meeting showing that the gentleman that spoke here were in attendance at that meeting. So that was back in August of 2017. We also had some public outreach in May where we presented the project elements, including the stream channel, in two different public meetings to more than approximately 275 members of the public. So we are trying to make an effort to get the word out and make sure that people understand what it is we're trying to build and what those impacts are.
Right. Any further questions? Thank you, sir. Well, it appears to me in looking over a very detailed briefing, good job, the explanation, it appears to me there's a lot of difference in opinion in engineering and design of the roadway, more so than the potential impacts that are under the purview of this commission. I'll just say that it looks like an issue that's somewhat parochial in nature, defined by territory and some objection. At the same time, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Minor.
Move that we approve staff recommendation.
Motion made by Mr. Minor, seconded by Mr. Zedrin. Further discussion? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Everett.
I'd just like to make the comment that while in this case it sounds like there was an environmental impact in the Nantota wetlands based on the Corps and DEQ, in the future I just would encourage the engineer and the VDOT to obviously try to get that natural channel design for water quality, water quantity, as well as habitat. So just wanted to make clear the value I see in that.
Point well made. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.